Houston's original neighborhood downtown is for everyone, and it's poppin'. It's our open-hearted home for our biggest celebrations and our treasured hidden gems. From the world-class theater district to incredible green spaces like Discovery Green, downtown is the place to be. In fact, more people visited downtown Houston last year than the entire population of Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, and San Antonio combined. There's no better time to live downtown than now. From starter apartments to luxury lofts, everyone can take advantage of the arts, business, culture, entertainment, food, and recreation. Now, you might think of downtown as only the heartbeat of Houston's regional economy, which it is, but there's so much more to it, including free events throughout the week with Downtown Houston Plus. From the Market Square Park Farmers Market every Saturday to Yoga Flow every Wednesday, you can find something to do and eat and watch in downtown Houston. Learn more at downtownhouston.org. Downtown Houston, get energized and revived.
Hi, CityCast listeners. It's Friday, and y'all know what that means. It's time to round out the week's news. I'm here with cultural contributor Antrichelle Dorsey and producer AK Al Moman to dig into the top stories around the city. It's Friday, January 27th, 2023. I'm Carleon Jones, and this is CityCast Houston. Antrichelle and AK, it's Friday. Are y'all ready to talk some news?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay, let's get into it. Let's start with you, Antrichelle. What was your biggest story of this week?
Baby, when I tell you, I was mad. The audacity. Did you know that according to a report from Lawn Starter, that Houston is ranked the dirtiest city in America?
There's no way. Oh. New York is in America.
How dare they? They said more than 150 of the biggest cities in America were looked at and compared to by pollution and living conditions, infrastructure, and consumer satisfaction, right? And in the findings, Houston took first place for the dirtiest city in the U.S., right in front of Newark, New Jersey, San Bernardino, California, and Detroit, Michigan. Scandalous.
It's crazy.
Somebody in there is hating because have they been to New Orleans, Louisiana?
I was just about to say that.
Honey, yeah.
Bourbon Street alone.
A Bourbon Street smell like throw up and booty balls. You understand me? That is disgusting.
I don't understand. Like downtown L.A.? All those places.
Like, New York. Disgusting.
New York.
I've seen dead rats on the street. Oh,
rats,
my God.
And pee-pee. It stank. But you got Houston up here? Who did this?
What do they mean by dirty? Like, do they mean that, like, it's dirty, like, the buildings aren't clean? Or, like, there's trash on the street dirty? Because we're not that second part.
Must be pollution.
So what they're saying is that the website is also linking a study that found the city's petrochemical facilities severely violate the EPA safety guidelines. And that's how they made us the dirtiest of them all. And I say, y'all lying. Go back to the drawing board because y'all got Newark, New Jersey on here. All my life, I wanted to move to New York, but I found out that Newark is more my speed. Wait a minute. I'm from Houston and I think I need to be in Newark. Am I just a dirty girl? Am I a dirty girl?
No.
She just drew this conclusion.
Number one and two. You know, I was like, am I a dirty girl? But even the fact still remains. They lying. They don't even have LA. They got San Bernardino, California, and Detroit, Michigan. You guys, y'all forgot about Louisiana. Okay. And not even New Orleans, because I love New Orleans. Just Bourbon Street by itself. It just takes the cake. You understand? It takes the cake for stanky and dirty. But not Houston, baby. Y'all going to have to do that again.
I wonder if they just used the wrong terminology. Because, like, if I'm thinking dirty, I'm thinking trash in the streets, stained buildings, old places to go to. But I feel like they were trying to, like, talk about pollution. Like the air quality. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they should have named the list the most polluted cities.
Literally.
According to the most polluted, right? Houston is the third most polluted city due to its greenhouse gas emissions from large industrial facilities and also has the biggest cockroach problem. They lied. I ain't got no cockroaches. You understand
the biggest cockroach
if you
problem.
Yeah, no. if you keep your place clean and you're good, listen, you're not going to get cockroaches.
They probably talk about tree bugs. You understand? Because there's a difference between a cockroach and a tree bug. Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The writers don't even know that. They just said something.
If we're third on pollution.
Yeah. We're not even number one. See, I knew y'all was going to get upset because I was upset when I saw it. I said, y'all.
Yeah, I was like, at first, I was like, I remember when that chemical plant like busted open and they were telling us, hey, don't go out. I was like, okay, for pollution, like Houston can put a claim on that. but actual dirty, like, I don't like even downtown. Like, I know people, I know a lot of my friends will be like, downtown Houston is like the dirtiest place you could go to. You go to downtown Houston and you compare it to any metropolitan downtown in most of the world, and it's not that bad. Nope, it's honestly not that bad.
Nope. Mm-hmm. It's not. And I'm Houston born and raised, y'all. Seriously, I'm an 80s baby. I've seen a lot of things. But baby, when I tell you here, they lied. And I'm not claiming that. Y'all lied. Y'all need to go back to the drawing board and start again. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
We're getting our glow up and they're just hating. They're just jealous because they don't want us to thrive out here.
If I had my tambourine, I would have played it because what you just said made me want to shout. You just said the right thing they hate. Mm-hmm. All I want to say is that they don't really care about us. You understand? Mm-hmm. They hating on us. We are thriving. Mm-hmm. We are growing. We are almost, what is that? We're almost there as what the second or third largest city ever in the whole. They trying to tear us down, baby. Listen, haters out there, we ain't taking it. You understand?
Not at
we
all.
Won't stop. We can't stop. We won't stop. We Houston, baby. H-Town for life, boy.
Yep. Bury me in the H every day.
Bury me in the H. Okay, y'all. So my biggest story has to be the aftermath of the tornado that happened in Pasadena and the Houston area on Tuesday. More than 22,000 homes were destroyed between Pasadena and Baytown. It was super scary. Like the whole day, I wasn't expecting it. And whenever I watched the news, it seems like the news channels weren't expecting this either. They just kept talking about how this was just not normal, what was going on. And it was just the lights kept turning off and everything. But luckily, I was in a safe area. But for these other areas in Houston, Baytown, Pasadena, there was a few other areas affected. Drivers were stranded in the flooding. Buildings were crushed, houses were crushed. It was just so scary. And it's like, at this point, it's still unclear how many injuries were from the tornado and the storm. But, you know, of course, Houston has come together. There's been a lot of residents, people from all over the city going to help clean things up, business owners, nonprofits. And that's the beautiful thing about Houston is that we always come together. But I just hate that we have to come together because of dark times every time, you know?
But here's the thing, you know, we are bonded by pain and trauma, right? And and that's the good thing about us. We're Houstonians, or we're Houston strong. And when something happens to one of us, it happens to all of us. And that's true. All sympathize with each other and we all jump in to help. And that's the beautiful thing about H-Town, because we go down for one another. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm with Carly. Like, this is, I couldn't ignore this as like the biggest story of the week. That tornado kind of just materialized out of nowhere. There was no predictors for it. We thought we were going to have a normal like rainstorm or whatever, because it was storming all around Houston, but then it just disformed out of nowhere and kind of hit this region. And I've kind of been reading some of the stories of the people that have been affected. And it's really hard to consider, especially in those areas like Pasadena and Deer Park, where a lot of the people who've lived there have lived there for a long time. Those are their only homes out there. There's a story of this woman. Her name is Norma Aliyah. She owned her home for 40 years. And she was just sitting in her living room when the tornado hit and it just collapsed on her.
No.
She's 72 years old. She doesn't remember much of what happened. But like the neighbors remember from eyewitness accounts that she was screaming for help when the tornado passed. They rushed to her home to see it like she was mangled under her brick home, like her brick home. And her son was talking about how like everything she's had in her life could be gone in a minute. And in a minute, she's got like nothing to hold her together. And now she's in the hospital for it. And so, I mean, she lost her husband, but right before he passed away, he had bought her home in 2003. Like, he finished off paying the home. So they owned their house. This was their only property. So it's a real shame. Like, there are other people who've like had their grocery stores and businesses kind of decimated completely. They don't know how they're going to like come back to their businesses, how they're going to make money so they could like survive the post events of the tornado.
That is so shocking and sad. Like, oh my gosh, that just broke my heart. Like, that's so terrible. You're just at home watching TV and then everything is just ripped from underneath you, you know? Like,
exactly. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine. There's these
drone shots at the top of the homes. You can see them. They're cleaved off. They're like, they're like almost cut in half from the top. They started an emergency shelter, and the mayor said that within an instant, the shelter kind of filled up. And it's just, I feel like whenever these natural disasters happen for Houston, it's the effect on like each individual person is losing something that they've worked for so long to get. Like, this is their comfort. Mm-hmm. This is where they want to live for the rest of their lives. And I feel like we always need to remember that. We always talk about like the scale of these events, but it's the individual people who are going to have to reconcile with this for so many years afterwards.
Yeah.
That's sad.
That is so sad. AK, you just made me depressed over here. But
I'm so sorry. I hope my underrated story can cheer you back up, because it is a positive one.
I hope Aunt Rochelle's underrated story can cheer me up. Mm-hmm. Do you have something? No?
I ain't got nothing to cheer you up. I'm about to make you even sadder because I didn't mean to. Listen, we got to talk about this beforehand, because we can't be doing sad upon sad upon sad. Yeah. Because what I'm going to talk about as a social media manager, I'm always looking at things that are happening via the social interwebs, amen, like my husband says, but social media. The viral sensation Inky Boys, that's a father and son, a duo who have gone viral on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. The dad, Randy Gonzalez, died at the age of 35 due to colon cancer.
Oh, yes, it's
a really sad situation, because he reportedly talked to Fox 26 Houston about his condition, letting them know that he only had 3 years to live, and that he was starting to take chemo that would extend his life maybe another 5 years. But unfortunately, it didn't work. And I'm really sad about this, because his son is so young. His son is 4, going on 5. And I'm sad because I think about and
I'm sorry, Andrew.
I think about they were so close. I'm thinking about his baby, right? Yeah. I'm thinking about his baby. What is he gonna do without his best friend?
Yeah.
And those things, you know, I hurt for the baby, but I'm confident that his son has all of these memories of this platform to show how his dad loved him, and his dad did this for him. His dad saw the talent in him, and how he can continue to build upon that. I'm sad for his wife, who allowed him to do this, right? I'm sad for this family. I am. I'm sad for the family and the people who love them. I'm sad because sometimes it just feels like things just get worse and worse and worse, but we have to find a silver lining in this. So as much as I'm sad about all of this, I am happy that his family has something to look back on, and they have these vivid visual memories of their father, of her husband, that they can keep with them forever, right?
Yeah.
That's it. I'm a thug. I'm not crying. Just something just happened to my nose real quick.
I feel like it's always tragic when someone is gone too early. But the bittersweetness of it is that it's special when they've dedicated part of their life to put out joy for other people and like put themselves in a place where they can bring happiness and compassion and show like a joyful life.
Yes.
Out there and not feed off of the drama and the hate and the division and to kind of like break through that way is always a beautiful thing.
It is, AK. And something else that we can all, we need to think about, and this is a serious issue, men are so strong, right? The majority of men I know, they don't go to the doctor. They don't need a checkup. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is prime example of men, why you need to go get your colon checked. This is why you should go get your pancreas checked, right? Early detection is key. Early detection mm-hmm. is key. And we have to say this. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't say, men, go to the doctor, please. Your family needs you. You know, we work hard to get this insurance and all of the above. Go to the doctor, fellas, please. Your people need you. Your babies need you a little while longer. Shoot, I started working out just so I could have better knees so I could run up the stairs behind my son, mm-hmm. right? But mm-hmm. we all have to make sure, like, if it's not for you, do it for the family. And fellas, we need you. We need you. We need you to go get checked. We need you to mm-hmm. make sure that you are okay and being in better health so you can be around for your family a little longer.
I second that. I second that. Yeah,
me too. That story was like so heartbreaking the other day whenever I seen it. I was watching videos of the two and they just seemed like best friends. They had such a good relationship. And so it really broke my heart. I really was like so sad to see that. And the son is so talented too. Like he's so young and so talented. He can do like an impression of like whatever he's trying to do. Spot on, better than grownups. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, yeah, my heart goes out to that family. Condolences from the whole CityCast crew, because yeah, we hate to hear things like that. So let's move on to my underrated story, which is about sports. So, you know, we leave in a sadness a little bit.
Good.
But we're talking about the saddest team in the league, the Texans.
the sorriest team in any sport.
So the Texans have held a second round of interviews with two coaching candidates, one named Mike Kafka, who is the Giants' offensive coordinator, and another named Ejiro Evero, who is the Broncos' defensive coordinator. Oh. Now, this is big news because this is the first head coaching candidates the Texans have interviewed twice, okay? Twice. So Kafka just finished his first season as a full-time play caller in the NFL. And under him, the Giants improved from one of the league's least efficient units to one of the most elite, you know? So he might be a good candidate, you know? We need that. Ivero also just finished his first season with the Denver defense. And even though they had a 5-12 record, he was still offered a position to like become the interim coach while their head coach also had gotten fired. His name was Nathaniel Hackett. And so he's kind of interviewed with all of the teams that have coaching positions now. Like Texans isn't his only thing. He's like, I'm going to go everywhere I can, basically.
He going to get it when he fit in, baby. Somebody exactly. going to pick me up. Yeah.
Exactly. It's wasting no time.
But you know what's the funniest part about how sorry the Texans have been, like the sorriest part of the whole saga this past season with the Texans. We did a mm-hmm. newscast on this prior, but when the Texans flamed out of the season with one of the worst records in history, I mean, they're never going to be as bad as the Cleveland Browns, who never won a single game, but one of the worst records we've had. The last game of the season, they won that game, which they weren't supposed to, because when they mm-hmm. won that game, they lost the chance to get the first pick of the draft.
Yes. Oh, my yeah. God. I was like, are you serious right now? Like, are you serious?
We lost it's like the they whole can't even season. Lose. They can't even lose right. That's how bad they are. They can't even lose right.
Y'all wrong for that. Oh, and I don't think it's fair that we are laughing at the Texans so hard. This is the home team. We supposed to have they back. Y'all ain't loyal, but it is funny. I don't even care about sports, but y'all ain't loyal.
I don't know. I don't know. They keep doing stuff like this, and I can't help it. The laughter masks the sadness.
Exactly. Yeah, it's frustrating. Does.
Yep.
But now we have to keep in mind that these two are coaching candidates, but the Texans are prohibited from speaking to candidates who are coaching in this like championship right now. So they can't really talk to other candidates until this coming Monday. So we have to just kind of keep an eye out on this story. But just so everybody knows, we do have two people that made it to the second round of interviews. So we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah.
Maybe we can win some games next year.
Pray for the Texans, amen. Put them high on your prayer list. One day, Jesus. One day.
One day.
Houston's original neighborhood downtown is for everyone, and it's poppin'. It's our open-hearted home for our biggest celebrations and our treasured hidden gems. From the world-class theater district to incredible green spaces like Discovery Green, downtown is the place to be. In fact, more people visited downtown Houston last year than the entire population of Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, and San Antonio combined. There's no better time to live downtown than now. From starter apartments to luxury lofts, everyone can take advantage of the arts, business, culture, entertainment, food, and recreation. Now, you might think of downtown as only the heartbeat of Houston's regional economy, which it is, but there's so much more to it, including free events throughout the week with Downtown Houston Plus. From the Market Square Park Farmers Market every Saturday to Yoga Flow every Wednesday, you can find something to do and eat and watch in downtown Houston. Learn more at downtownhouston.org. Downtown Houston, get energized and revived.
Okay, AK, what about you? What was your underrated story?
Y'all know that I'm a Houston food scene lover. I'm a foodie. Mm-hmm. I love the representation of the city, the diversity of the city, all that. And I come here with a lot of pride and a lot of joy to say that about 10 restaurants from Houston have ended up on the James Beard Award semifinalists. Now, if you don't know what the James Beard Award is, it's basically considered the Oscars of the food scene. It's essentially the highest honor. Most of the people that have won the James Beard Award have eventually gone on to become Michelin star restaurants, so the highest of fine dining. And to see 10 Houston restaurants end up in various categories, I'm going to focus on the top two categories. One chef specifically has ended up as the top and the finalist list for the top award from James Beard, which is Outstanding Restaurateur. It's essentially the big tamale of the whole thing. It is, you are a great chef, you run a great restaurant, you have a place in your community and stuff like that. And that's Chris Williams, the owner of Lucille's.
Ooh,
yes.
Yes. I love Lucille's. Oh, yes. AK, the suspense was killing me. You led up to that thing real good. Congratulations, Lucille.
Yes. I'm so happy for them. He was on the list last year. So him coming back to back, there's a huge chance he could actually win it this year. He's a phenomenal chef, a phenomenal restaurateur. And we love the representation of it because Lucille's is, I'm with Andrew Shaw, Lucille's is fantastic.
Yeah. Fan-flippin-tastic. Now, I know that's the big tamale, but you got to tell us about the other restaurants that's on the list, AK. Yes, what's
ma'am.
Up?
Yes, ma'am. And for outstanding chefs, two of ours who own Jin Chao have ended up on the list, Christina Ha and Tony G. Nguyen. They ended up on the list. Christine Ha has been a trailblazer for a while. She has already two restaurants in Houston that she operates. She's opening a third one that's going to be a drive-through sandwich place. She won the third season of MasterChef. So she's like one of the best representations for the city. And her food is just bomb. Whichever restaurant of hers you go, her food is always bomb. And I'm glad that she's getting her honor to be a semifinalist for Outstanding Chef. Te Tamo, the tasting menu by Emmanuel yes. Chavez and Megan mm-hmm. Mall, has been recognized as best new restaurant, which is a great honor. They just opened. This is one of their first years.
Yes, but I've been hearing about them everywhere. Like, they've been everywhere in every article, I swear.
Te Tamo, it's on top of my list as the place I want to visit the most mm-hmm. right now in Houston. Nancy's Hustle ended up on Outstanding Wines and Other Beverages. So we got like a wide gamut of different types of restaurants, different representations from different ethnicities, different cultures, different races, and it's all from Houston. I'm so proud of all of the semifinalists. I hope that some of them make it to the top of the list and win it.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
That is something to be proud of. Now, y'all might call us dirty, but you can't say we got nasty food, mm-hmm. baby.
Yeah, and that validates me. That validates me because yep. I'm always bragging about how Houston has the best food in America.
Yep.
Only people that I feel like hold a candle to us is New Orleans. That's
yep.
it.
True. That's true.
Now, they stink. But they got better food.
their food is better. Yeah. New Orleans has better food, but after that.
A specific type of food, I will say.
Okay, you're right.
New Orleans style food. The diversity mm-hmm. in Houston is unmatched. I don't know any That's other true. Place that has the same diversity we do.
True, but.
So that means we win.
We do win in diversity, AK, mm-hmm. but we from the South. We got big booties down here. So you got to have them good old cornbread. Big booties. You got to be cornbread fan, baby. And you got to feed. You need some good old hugging food. That good old true. Fat arm grandmama food. That's them true. Aunties with them fat arm wings yes. kind of food, right? And that's the food that's why we say Louisiana food is better because they got that.
Comfort food.
You know,
food.
They got that. That comfort mm-hmm. food, right? We got good bougie food, yes. and we got some good old, good old soul food.
We got good comfort food, too, though.
No, that's what I said. I said we got good soul food. You know, it's bougetto, right? So okay. it's like really bougie and ghetto. It got the mm-hmm. ghetto flair in it. Well, and I'll say that comfort get flair, but New Orleans food, it just
does it for you.
It's just, yeah, it just feel good. It's just hood. It's good.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. I wanted to bring y'all some cheerful news.
Thank yes. you, because I was over here about to cry because I don't cry because I'm a thug, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm from Sunnyside, hold it down,
yes,
baby.
Ma'am.
I don't be crying in public, but I, you know, my throat was hurting and something was wrong with my nose.
Well,
so I'm glad you
better.
Talked about food, right? I'm glad.
Yeah.
No. Yes, and we're about to make it even better. It's time for the moment of joy.
Yes.
And Trishelle, what's your moment of joy? Yes.
Listen, moment of joy. Let me tell y'all. I know I talk about a lot of things, but the one thing that brings me joy and pain, sunshine and rain, is mm-hmm. my 4-year-old Axum Nova. Aww,
yes.
I am proud of Axum Nova. Let me tell you why. He just took his gifted and talented Vanguard test for kindergarten.
Ooh.
Okay?
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Your girl over here got a genius on her hands, okay?
Listen,
I'm not surprised.
You know, listen, I have to be very honest, you know. Axum's father, my husband, my baby daddy, he is a genius. Very, very smart. His mama, me, the electric personality, I'm pretty clever. You understand? I don't tell people how smart I am because I need to sneak up on them, right? Both.
Like a surprise attack.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I surprise mm-hmm. you with that, you know. But one thing I often tell people, I was in Vanguard when I was in elementary. My husband was in Vanguard in elementary. But we both went to those programs later on. I went in third grade, and I think my husband may have went in the fourth or fifth grade or mm-hmm. whatever. But the first thing, one thing remains is that we did not transition into those programs well. We did not. And so we were on one accord that our son, we noticed how talented he is. Now, mind you, he's 4. He's reading on a third grade level. He is in a mathematic level of a first grader, right? He is also speaking 2 different languages, okay? I don't know neither one of them. So when he's speaking Spanish and Mandarin, I don't know what the hell he's saying because I don't speak those languages. You understand? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But when we noticed how gifted he was and how talented he was, we both decided, listen, we want him to always have this and cultivate in this. And this is why we want to start him in kindergarten. Yes. And when I tell y'all the ugly cry that came across my face when my child was so excited and went into that room, that program, and was like, bye, mom, bye, dad. I I melted. Oh. I did, because it was like, we have taken you so far, right? Mm-hmm. And now it's time for you to go and grow. So that's what's bringing me joy, is the pride that, and the confidence that I saw in my child as he left. And when he came back like a warrior. He said, I took tests, Mom. And mm-hmm. we never told him he was taking a test. He said, I took so many tests. I used the powers in my mind and I got all of them right. And I was proud, yeah. right? I was proud mm-hmm. because I wanted him to just have a good time. And he came back knowing that I was tested and I passed. So that's what's bringing me joy.
That is so beautiful. I love that.
Yes.
I love that.
That's definitely something to be proud of. Congratulations to him.
Thank you.
Carly, what about yours?
So I talked about this earlier in the week in a newscast, but Houston is getting about 15 major new developments. And the one I'm excited about is this new surf resort and lagoon called HTX Surf.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. It sounds so cool, right? No, the reason why I'm excited is because I don't know how to surf. And I've always wanted to learn how to surf. Mm-hmm. So I think this is the perfect opportunity without like falling into that beach water, you know?
Yes.
Like that little nice secluded area for this. It's going to be so nice. It's going to be 15 acres total. 6 of the acres are going to be used for the surf lagoon, and it's going to produce 1,000 ocean-like waves per hour.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be dope.
That is, right? Look at us.
Oh, my God.
Houston, grow up. I love it.
Go. Yes. And see, that's why they want to call us mm-hmm. dirty. You know what, Carly? You just Mad. Said something. This is probably why they call us dirty. They probably was looking at Galveston that morning. I just exactly. thought about it.
They were
probably
looking
was thinking about that Galveston water. Don't look over there. Don't look over there. That's Galveston. It's
that's
not
a
Houston,
separate
but we still
city.
Claim
I like Galveston.
Them. Mm-hmm. I love Galveston. We have my baby birthday in that dirty water. Energy, you understand? But oh yes, gosh. Shout out to HTX Surf. Listen, I'm going to be a surf dude with attitude and I'm going over there and I'm getting in that water. Mm-hmm. You understand? And I'm going to get back up and I'm going to fall off and I'm going to get back up again. I can't wait
I
for this.
I got long hair for a reason. Wait. I've been preparing myself for this moment. I need this. Yes.
AK, you better. Years. I can't wait to see your pictures, AK, with your hair blowing on this surfboard,
yes,
baby.
Ma'am. Yes, I'll
we
be
need
there.
To do a whole. A whole little team thing and all go together.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do.
Do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay. AK, what's bringing you joy this week?
So this is a bit of a like a personal development journey, realizing your failures through other people's success and having pride in what they accomplished. So when I was in college, I was at U of H, go Cougs, number 3 in the country in basketball. But when I went to U of H, I was a part of this a film organization called Film Club at U of H. And I worked on it for 2 years, put blood, sweat, and tears into that thing. Wanted to build it up, wanted to make it a hub for the rest of the art community in Houston. Kind of have a place where all young people can come and appreciate film and maybe find ways where they can enjoy film. Build a real film culture in Houston from the student body out to all these centers like MFAH, the Aurora Theater, the International Film Festival, and all those. We made connections, but at the end of the day, we had too many big ideas all at once, and we overstressed ourselves, and then the pandemic came and kind of crashed everything down on our head, and we kind of all dispersed as a group, and the club kind of almost died. But recently, I found out that there's a group of students who came in, revitalized the name, brought it back, and now it's thriving better than ever. Their Instagram page is killing it. They're showing movies mm-hmm. at the actual theater at U of H, which we never could do when I was there. I am so mm-hmm. proud of this newer generation really taking the lead, really working to make this stuff happen. And I can't wait to like show up as the Sage alumni and just introduce them to all my contacts and be like, hey, I'm your mm-hmm. grandfather. I'm right here.
Yeah, oh, look at you. Granddaddy. He is your granddaddy.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm so happy.
AK for is your father.
Yes, I'm so happy for him. I'm so proud of him. And I hope they keep growing and thriving. Like that brought a lot of joy to my heart.
I I'm sure it did. Congratulations, AK. And look at you. I'm so proud of you for not being the bitter old baby and saying, I didn't get to do that. And I didn't get, you are just like, look at y'all. Y'all have, you know, done more than I could do. And that's what people should do. High five to you, AK.
Thank you.
Yes, I love that. We ended this on a great note.
Yes.
We did. Yes.
It was a journey, but we got there.
Oh, yes. We got there, baby. Mm-hmm. Hey.
HTX represent.
HTX represent. See y'all.
Bye.
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 That was Antrichelle Dorsey and AK Al Moman. Next week, we'll be doing a show about living single in Houston, and we want to hear from you. If you have tips on the best way to navigate dating in the city, call us at 713-489-6972. That's it for our show here today at CityCast Houston. Our lead producer is Dina Kespa. Our producers are myself, Carleon Jones, and AK Al Moman. Our newsletter writer is Brooke Lewis. And our music is by Farrell Gibbs and his band, All the Kimonos. If you enjoyed the show, why not tell a friend? Rate the show, leave a review, subscribe to the morning newsletter, all of that good stuff. We'll be back next week with another amazing round of shows, so stay tuned. Until then, have a great weekend and see you later. Go ahead.
Houston. We have a problem. Do you understand me? When I work 18 minutes from my office and it takes me 45 minutes to get here, not because there's a wreck, because folks is watching the wreck cleanup. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even a wreck, y'all. Do you understand me? It wasn't even a wreck. I think somebody was getting a ticket and they was just watching. I am livid. We need to teach the people who don't live here. When you see a car accident, keep going. It ain't your business. You understand? It's not your business. Everybody, just keep going. Okay, I'm done. Woo! But I'm mad.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
I'm mad. Y'all. Oh. Well, good morning. How y'all doing?